In the morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, how are you today? No, you haven't stumbled across some weird podcast made just for someone's immediate family. You're listening to St. Mark Bemidji's podcast, where we are all one family in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that makes you my brother or my sister. Well, Easter is right around the corner. Many will soon get out that suit for another annual outing, or hope that that perfect dress that drew so many compliments last year will still fit. The kids have already found your secret stash of chocolate, and that bunny's going to look really weird in the basket with only one ear. But being a Christian isn't just about coming out on Easter, or Easter and Christmas. And it's not about fooling the big man, or making mom happy that you brought the kids out to listen to that dreary hymn music again. No, coming out to church and learning more about the stories you learned about in Sunday school as a child is about growing in the faith that Jesus... It's about growing in the faith in Jesus that the Spirit of God put in you. It's about learning to live a life that has true meaning, an enduring cause that means far more than a legacy that you might leave behind through your work, or volunteering, or even your children. It's about learning to live a life centered around Christ, learning how He died to save you, to save your children, your spouse, your parents. Jesus died for all the wrongs that we have done and took our place so that we could spend eternity with Him. So go ahead, just put on your best Carhartts or whatever you've got and come to church today, this weekend. Get a free Bible for your phone or even a real paper one and read it. If you have trouble understanding what it says, come to church. We've got more than a few people who have spent their whole lives studying it, and they'd love to talk to you about it for as long as you'd like. Today, our meditation comes to us from Kansas once again. Pastor Kirk has penned another sermon for me to read. It's titled, The One Way to Salvation. May God bless our time together in the Word. So this fellow Matthew was a tax collector. Well, that raises some hackles with most of us. Seems no one likes the IRS types. Guess Matthew wasn't so well liked either. Tax collectors were seen by their fellow Jews as traitors of sorts, collaborators, since they were working for the hated Roman government, the pagan empire that occupied the land of Israel. And beside that, tax collectors generally had the bad reputation of being corrupt, crooked, lining their own pockets at people's expense. Now this guy, with all his faults, or lack thereof, is called by Jesus to discipleship, leading to apostleship, one of the 12, witness to the resurrection, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a gospel, to proclaim to all the world that Jesus, crucified and risen for the life of the world, is the promised Christ, the incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary, flesh and blood man, is the eternal second person of the Trinity, Son of God, your Savior and mine. And this Matthew, the tax collector, looked down upon by the more moral folk as a sinner, and Jesus calls him. Follow me, Jesus says. And guess what? Jesus says this to all sinners. Do you qualify? I hope you can say yes. Because like St. Matthew, you don't get to be a saint until you are first a sinner. And if you were a sinner, you don't qualify. And that's what Jesus' merciful call to Matthew is all about. God's mercy in Christ Jesus from Matthew, for you and me. Mercy, God giving you what you don't deserve. What do you and me and Matthew deserve from God? Not mercy. We confessed it this morning. We are sinful and unclean, under the wrath of God, and would be lost forever, should be lost forever. Tax collector Matthew heard the authority in Jesus' words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He heard the wisdom in his teaching as Jesus unfolded the true meaning of the law, a law no one on their own can keep, and the wages of sin is death now and for eternity. He heard the authority in Jesus' commands, rise and walk. In fact, just prior to Matthew's calling, Jesus had performed a huge miracle. Seems this paralyzed fellow was lying on his mat whilst his friends lowered him down right in front of Jesus through the roof right there where Jesus was. And the first words of Jesus to that paralyzed man were, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." What? There were scribes there, Bible scholars and scriptural experts. They thought in their hearts, "Who's this guy Jesus think he is? God? No one can forgive sins except God. Jesus, why, he isn't God." Or words and thinking to that effect. Right in front of them was Jesus, and the scribes didn't get it. You see, the religious authorities of the day believed and taught that mercy, forgiveness, and restoration belongs to God, and possession of that righteousness was gained by people like scribes and Pharisees and others like them by living good lives according to the law God gave, following all its precepts, properly offering the sacrifices, and avoiding anyone who did not live as they did. They worked out their own plan of salvation, and their plan is what they will offer to God and exalt as making them worthy for God's eternal kingdom. Their good works to God is pleasing sacrifice to God to gain His eternal favor. Really, when it came to moral behavior, there were none better than the scribes, Pharisees, and the others. That's why they were beside themselves when they found out about Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked His disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus explains to the Pharisees, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." The Pharisees in our texts were well. They didn't think they were sinners. They didn't need any mercy. They were worthy, and their life proved it. And perhaps they did lead more respectable lives than tax collectors and other more blatant, more obvious sinners. But they were just better at hiding their sins. Sins of pride, of self-righteousness, sins of lack of mercy towards others. But those sins are not hidden from God. He sees. He knows. Jesus eating with these moral lowlives at Matthew's house that day meant that He was treating them as His brothers and sisters. They were sick. They were sinful and unclean, under the wrath of God, and would be lost forever, should be lost forever. Except Jesus, rich in mercy, plenteous in redemption, Jesus. The truth is, we all, each one of us, is a sinner. Each one of us needs to repent, to acknowledge our sins before God, to turn in contrition and confess our need for God's mercy and forgiveness. Jesus does not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And that's you and me. And that was St. Matthew, a sinner called to follow Jesus. The call of Christ carries with it the power to make righteous. And that's what it did for Matthew. He rose and followed Jesus, in faith that his sins were forgiven. All of them. And that in Jesus, he had peace with God. And that's what repentance is all about. Being called by Jesus, as a sinner, to come and follow him, and receive his mercy, and belong to him alone. That in turn, is what it is to be a saint, a holy one. That is, one of Christ's set-apart people. You understand what the scribes in the text didn't. First, that the law cannot be observed unless we have been regenerated by faith in Christ, unless we have been freely given the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior when He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Just as Christ says in John 15, verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. Now we also believe that, though some external works can certainly be done, this is the divine truth, and Scripture teaches it clearly. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Be like the scribes and the Pharisees and diligently try to keep the law of God. Be one who is still deathly sick and dead in trespasses and sins. Count on the forgiveness of sins, victory over death, and the grave and the promise of the resurrection of the body and the eternal life and the kingdom of God in your own works and efforts, your good intentions, expecting God to cut you some slack and give you a break because you always gave it your best shot as you saw it. And you will die in your sins forever. Sorry, but that's how it is. Period. God's word teaches you that your own works and efforts won't cut it before God now or ever. The Lord does not desire such sacrifices as your works. In fact, they offend him. When someone declares to God, I'm good enough to make it on my own, he is declaring, you sacrificed your son for no good reason, because I can save myself. This robs the Son of his glory and offends the Father greatly. And since it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, one's terrified conscience, did I live good enough? Did I do enough? I hope God will give me a break. All points up to the utter terror and stark hopelessness at what is to come from trusting one's own filthy rags works. But must cry after mercy and hopefully fall to one's knees in heartfelt and sincere repentance and be comforted and encouraged alone by God's word. Mercy is God giving us what we do not deserve. We are righteous when we confess that we are sinners, and that our righteousness consists not in our own merit, but in God's mercy. God's mercy cannot be apprehended unless by faith in Christ Jesus and his life-giving, sin-forgiving, atoning blood that he shed for you on Golgotha's cross and delivers to you in his gospel word and his holy sacraments. Jesus says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, quoting what his father said through Hosea centuries before. The Lord desires to have mercy. He is rich in mercy and plenteous in redemption. That is why he sacrificed his son, judging him on the cross in our place. He has given his son the punishment that we deserve so that he can give us what we don't deserve, grace and mercy. For the sake of Jesus, God the Father declares, your works do not save you. They cannot. My son has saved you. He has lived for you, and he has died for you, and I have raised him from the dead to give you life. I will not save you because of your efforts, but I will have mercy upon you and forgive you for my son's sake. This is what Jesus means when he declares, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire to have mercy on you for the sake of Jesus, because your works and sacrifices won't get the job done. Like St. Matthew, in fact, through St. Matthew's gospel, we follow our master and hear his voice and grow as his disciples. As we hear and read and study the gospel according to St. Matthew, as it is preached and taught here in church, as we hear and read and take to heart the rest of the Holy Scripture, we grow as Christian disciples. Our faith and life are strengthened. St. Matthew the Evangelist does us the great service of giving us his gospel account of Christ, which draws us into the life of Christ. And through this gospel, we follow Jesus in faith. And just like it did for St. Matthew, the call of Christ leads us into a life of service. For Matthew, it was the unique service of ministry as an apostle and evangelist. What are the areas of service God has for you? Well, where has God planted you? Start there. Are you a husband, wife, father, mother, son, daughter? Each of those situations has its own set of responsibilities. Are you an employer, an employee, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker? Well, then be the best candlestick maker you can be. Are you a citizen of this community, this state, this country? You have a civic responsibility to carry out. Are you a church member? How can you better serve at our church, supporting this congregation financially, generously, speaking well of our church out in the community, inviting your friends and relatives and all your neighbors to join you at church? These are all areas of service you already have, just to begin with. And God will help you to fulfill your various vocations as you live a life of service, following Jesus, the servant par excellence. Following Jesus with St. Matthew in repentance, in faith, in service. And now one more. Following Jesus with St. Matthew into everlasting life. And this is what it all comes down to. It's not what you do for Jesus. It's what Jesus does for you. It was that way for St. Matthew. It is that way, thank God, for you and me. Even as we follow Jesus in repentance, in faith, in a life of service, none of that is our doing, could accomplish anything for our salvation. No, it is all a gift. It is what Christ does for us that counts. It is Jesus, the Son of Man, the Messiah, who goes the way of the cross for us. Jesus himself says in St. Matthew's Gospel, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." There it is. That's it. That's what the gospel is all about. Jesus giving himself for us. He is our Redeemer, the Holy Son of God who sacrifices his life to set us free from our sins and death and everlasting condemnation. Jesus is our Redeemer who purchases our release and our forgiveness. Christ, our risen Lord, who leads us into everlasting life. That, my friends, is what St. Matthew was so eager to record in his gospel, so eager to tell us today. And to strengthen our lives under the great mercy of our God, Jesus feeds us with his own body and blood, the same that was offered in divine, unsearchable mercy for you and me on the cross. Yes, Jesus is God with us. With us in mercy, with us in forgiveness, with us in bringing in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Jesus is God with us, here in the church. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I with them. Jesus is God with us, here in the sacrament, to strengthen us in our lives under the great mercy of our God. Jesus feeds us with his own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. The same that was offered in divine, unsearchable mercy for you and me on the cross. And he promises, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And when he comes again, then we will follow Jesus on into the eternal age to come with St. Matthew, with all the saints, with all those redeemed by Christ and given the gift of eternal life. Amen. I sincerely pray that today's meditation on God's Word has enriched you. Didn't get enough of God's Word? Are you missing out on that in-person fellowship? We hold divine services right here in Bemidji, Minnesota at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Sunday school and adult Bible study is also offered between our Sunday services at 9:15 a.m. We also live stream our Sunday divine service at 8 a.m. You can ensure that you are notified when a stream is live or a new podcast is available by subscribing to our YouTube channel. It's easy to find by typing in St. Mark Bemidji in the search bar and clicking on the subscribe button. Want to listen to meditations the way I do every day? Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Go to podcastindex.org and search for St. Mark Bemidji to find us. This is our fifth year producing this podcast, and there is a large archive of devotional material online available if you want to learn more about God and his Word. Visit www.stmarksbemidji.org or look in the show notes in this podcast for a link to this and many other meditations on God. If you have any questions or you would like more information about our church and its ministry, please visit our website, which is once again www.stmarksbemidji.org. May God bless the rest of your day.